There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 956, September 12th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Red Bull gives Ferrari yellow fever. Albon gets sick. De Vries goes quick. And the ghost of Michael Massey was in Parco Monza. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, El Jefe.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the answer is overtime, just like in NASCAR. LCH realizing total domination by one team can be annoying. De Vries is now new Dutch treat. No super license for Herta. FIA don't bend for nobody. And what is Ferrari gonna do? And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab, please. You know, you'll want to. Nash, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Grand Prix after Grand Prix after Grand Prix is a very good thing. And talking of Lewis saying domination is becoming annoying, F1 has become what I call now Maxwell House. Rich in winning aroma and very percolated in performance. Enjoy another cup of cappuccino, Signor Binotto. Sir, did you enjoy the Grand Prix as much as I did?
I did indeed enjoy the Grand Prix. I enjoy the pre-Grand Prix, the middle Grand Prix, the post-Grand Prix, all of it with the caution, the phantom debris. And yes, I mean, you can't beat it. You got Nick De Vries, you got appendicitis on one side, you got people crying because there's a flyover. I mean, we have everything.
Well, speaking of flyover and pre-race festivities, surprise, surprise, Sebastian Vettel is having a cow about the flyover, like that's going to destroy the world by the end of the Grand Prix. And he said the authorities, Monza authorities, should not have caved in to the Italian president who was at the race. But, you know, everybody has the right to his opinion. He will have a lot of time on hand after Abu Dhabi, so we wish him well. Well, sir, Tifosis are singing, look what they've done to my season. They've turned it upside down. The Red Army is under siege from the Red Bull Brigade. Whether Ferrari is on pole or leading the race 1-2, whether we are on a street course or scintillating spa, as we saw on Sunday, even on home soil and Temple of Speed, Signor Binotto gets stressed and maxed out race after race. What was once a 40-plus point lead is now 116 points in the red. They sure love red in Maranello. Max Verstappen is making wins happen. His performance should not really surprise anyone. And after listening to Signor Binotto after the race, looks like he has accepted his fate, which Bill Walsh, the ex-coach from San Francisco 49ers, wrote in his book and referred to a zebra whose neck is in the jaws of a lion in the African jungle, and he has no choice but to accept this as his fate. First win at Monza from seventh starting position since Ronnie Peterson doing the same in 1974 in a Lotus. The Prancing Horse got slayed in its own stud farm in Parco, Monza. On a positive note, what an impressive drive from Numero Dos at Scuderia And what an impressive long-awaited Formula One debut for Nyck de Vries. Interestingly, after 16 races so far this season, the immensely talented Mr. Latifi has not scored a point. In one race, after being drafted in on Saturday due to Albon's appendicitis, Nyck was quick and qualified ahead of Nicholas. It was a real joy to see him race and deliver a kidney pudding of a performance. But sir, before we get dessert, we need to look at some meat and potatoes. Are you ready for a quickie on Collie?
Yes, my burrito has been deep fried.
Very good. Okay, the main story of Collie was Albon sick, Nyck quick. Because of penalties galore, George Russell started from front row. Row 2 was all McLaren drivers, Lando 3rd, Ricciardo 4th. On pure pace, Max was 2nd fastest and pole went to the man who won the race in 2019, riding a prancing horse, Charles Leclerc. He has now matched the record of most poles in a season by a Ferrari driver, which was 8 by, of course, who but Michael Schumacher. I have to say I was very impressed by Nyck de Vries. Late call to get ready for the big show, and he did not get his French fried from the pressure cooker that is F1. As we have seen before, when a driver is parachuted into Formula 1 during the season, it can lead to a surprise for all and demise for the driver they are replacing. Some of us will remember a driver, a complete unknown with a maple leaf on his shoulder, who drove a 3rd McLaren at Silverstone in 1977. Then in 1991 at Spa, a German driver shocked the monkey and Eddie, which led to a get-out-of-team, if not get-out-of-jail card for Mr. Gasho. There was too much confusion as to who will start where on Sunday. One of the journalists told Max he will start 4th, and he said, no, I will start 7th, which turned out to be the case on Sunday morning, or afternoon, I should say. Your thoughts on Collie, Mr. Rogers?
We've been there with the penalties. I remember once, I think Fernando had a 70 grid place penalty. I mean, they just started gathering up and it was comical and we were laughing how ridiculous it is. And here we are, same old thing. I mean, when you have to get your slide rule and your compass and the chart of the stars to figure out the grid, we have a problem, Houston. So anyway, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous, but it was nice to see de Vries kick some Latifi booty.
Yes. Okay, now let's take a quick look how the race folded, and then we'll talk about each driver. Fans were elated as the red car led when the red lights went off, but bad moon was rising over Parco Monza as Max was up to 3rd at the end of the opening lap. The writing was on the leaves of the trees in the Royal Park, which I understand is the largest city park in Europe. Very impressive. At the end of lap 5, we heard, knock, knock, who's there? Surprise, surprise, it's Max in 2nd. Goodbye, George. Hello, Leclerc. This is when I knew who will win the race. No matter how Ferrari rolls the dice, the strategy from Red Bull is always so nice. Sir, were you surprised that Max was in 2nd so quickly?
It was awesome to watch. I mean, yeah, lap five, he's already pouncing on Leclerc. I mean, amazing. Yeah, he got around everybody so fast. The Red Bull is so fast. He's going to continue to win. I mean, Singapore is going to be a tight, twisty race. But when you're fast, folks. It's awesome to watch. Not only, the car is fast, but with Max in it, he brings that extra, I think it's called 6/10.
Yeah, but then once somebody did that and the response was, well, the other driver in the team had brought in 7/10. So you have to be careful. It has to be apple to apple comparison, not apple to tangerine. That can be bitter taste, Mr. Rogers.
See.
Okay, well, you know, I'll tell you. If Max is not on the front row, and even if it started, wherever he's starting, if he survives the opening lap where he does not have a bent front wing or somebody runs into him, torpedoes into him, if he survives the opening lap, he is on the podium. And if there is some clever strategy to be done, undercut, uppercut, lower cut, whatever, or below the belt cut, team will make it happen. So it's, I'm beginning to feel sorry for Scuderia Ferrari. They have the most beautiful car. The car is very quick. They have two very good drivers, such a history lineage. And to see them get spanked race after race, it's no fun. Okay, sir, lap 10, Carlito was 7th after starting from the 18th position. And around this time, this was very, very sad. LCH was chasing Yuki Tsunoda for 14th. How sad is that?
You must mean Yuki Tsunami.
Well, we're going to come to that. Okay, somebody got in some heat for that. I have a question. Are you going to call Lewis Hamilton now unlucky that he does not have a fast car like Max?
Definitely. I mean, he is one unlucky dude right now. But at least he gets to hang out with Fernando old times, always trying to pass Fernando. I'm telling you, it's good to see the old guys hanging out, feeling good. And pretty soon, you know, those guys will eventually join Vettel. And maybe Tom Brady can join them as well.
Well, talking of old guys, Kimi Raikkonen was in attendance at the race. And your man, Ombre, has now matched his record of number of races started in Grand Prix racing. So obviously in Singapore, his favorite place, he will bring down that wall also. The wall of most Grand Prix starts. So you go, Nando. Okay, sir, moving on. Lap 12, Seb stopped his Aston Martin, which started the VSC period, and Ferrari brought Charles into the pits. Whether it was the right decision or not, it sealed his fate as Max took the lead. And of course, a lot of people are saying they should have done that. A lot of people are saying they should not have done that. My take is, no matter what they were going to do, the top man at the podium would be the same. What say you?
I agree. Max was unstoppable all weekend. He was fast. They could have pitted him. They might not have pitted him. It doesn't matter. Max would have dominated as he did and will continue to do so until, we could do this for a couple years, Nasser.
You know, back in the 50s and 30s and 40s when Grand Prix races were 3 or 4 hours, I've seen guys come in and they're taking off the wheels, putting the fuel. Driver gets out, gets a cup of tea. I'm glad Max is not racing in that era. Otherwise, he would get out and have a pizza, cappuccino, and then still beat everybody. But interesting times. Now, my favorite was this, sir. Lap 27 and lap 37. Lap 27, Machismo is passed by El Moldo, his friend. Hope you did not break your black and white RCA TV, Mr. Rogers.
Definitely not. It's still in perfect condition.
Cool. Now, lap 37. Machismo moved by Lewis, passing Gasly and Norris, and then Ricciardo to move up to 6th from back of the grid. I guess he knows how to drive, not starting from the front. Thank you very much. And when the race was over, LCH did the Dave Brubeck take 5. And that's quite a drive coming from 19th or wherever he was. Now, lap 47, Spirit of Massey enters Monza Park as Ricciardo stopped on the track. Safety car, shades of season finale from 2022. The problem was, I also thought they're taking too long to get the car out of the track, but the problem was the car was stuck in gear and the marshals could not push it back. Now, here is something that you said at the top of the show, Mr. Rogers. This is where they can learn something from NASCAR, apart from how to treat racing fans. You know, in NASCAR, they do this thing, if it's less than X number of laps remaining, and there's a caution, they stop the race, and then the race is started, so the fans get a racing finish. And I think they do it twice. In Formula One, they don't have to do this, especially if there are less than 5 laps remaining. In NASCAR, if there's another crash, they stop it and restart. The second restart, if there is something going on, then they stop and whoever was leading the previous lap is the winner. But I think since the main audience now is global TV, and I'm one of those fans, I want to see a race. First of all, I want to see officials follow their own rules. So if they're going to have this rule that if 50 lap race is finishing under safety car, so be it. But I think for the poor fans, the unwashed masses around the world, what they can do is like NASCAR, if comes out, safety car comes out, or VSC comes out with less than 5 laps to go, then they can do a, you know, stop the clock, as they say in football, and then do a quick dash. What do you suggest? And no matter what they do, they're not going to please everybody. What say you on this issue?
I totally agree. I think they should stop if there's 5 laps or less, get it organized, and then have a standing start, 2 or 3 lap shootout, so everybody could be standing up with their guts all excited and tight and having fun.
And you know, for decades, we are used to races, even big races like the Belgian Grand Prix last year, many Indy 500, and we're so used to races ending under yellow, but then NASCAR showed everybody, hey, you can still have boogity, boogity, boogity if there is a late race caution. So I think this would be a good idea. But they should really think about it carefully. Last thing we need is another schmazel like Abu Dhabi. Okay, sir, now let's just take a look at the top 10 Max winner. What we expected to be a great season-long battle between Red Bull and Red Car has now turned into a runaway freight train from the Rotterdam station. This was Red Bull's first victory at Monza in the hybrid era. Max has 11 wins from 16 races, and his championship challenger and one-time championship leader has 3 wins. There has been talk of Max doing a Seb of 2013, when he won all the races after the summer break. If Max does that, he will really break the back of the prancing horse, if it has not been done already. I am looking forward to him setting a new track record of race wins in a season. Currently 13 each for Seb and Schumi. You think he can win all the races?
He can, but reliability, penalties, there's so many variables. It's a tough cookie to crack.
Yes, and you know, we might have a rain someplace and somebody might slip into him. And who could it be? Nicholas Latifi, I think. Second man, Charles Leclerc. The way things are going for him at Maranello, I really think Ferrari needs to provide him a car that is close to half a second faster than Red Bull for Charles to bring them a driver's championship. I will be very surprised if he can get more than one win in the remaining 6 races. The impression I get from his communication with the team now is that they really don't do their pre-race homework. Maybe they are gun-shy after the mistakes by both the team and the driver, which cost them not only victories but also many, many points in the championship. Despite renting from Nico Rosberg, they are determined to do things their way. And unfortunately, doing the same way will bring the same results, I fear. Do you have any suggestion for Signor Binotto how to get this act going?
I really don't. I mean, there's always prayer, consultation with Pope. Other than that, he's in big trouble. And always put more photographs of cathedrals in the garage.
Not a good idea. Or they can get... do we have copyrights on the DNF chapel?
We do.
Okay, maybe we can help out Charles and have a picture of that in his cockpit. Okay, sir. Third, George Russell. Mercedes does not have the speed of Red Bull and Ferrari, so the Silver Arrow is suffering. But George has been great in the silent submarine whose port of call is podium. This was his 7th podium of the season, and in 15 of 16 races, he has been in the top 5, basically doing what we expected from Lewis. And George has been on the podium in 4 of the last 5 races. He's quietly doing his job. That's very good. His only DNF was his home Grand Prix, for which I say bloody hell. Toto has no choice but to split his amore between his 2 love childs. One good thing is they now have a bona fide team leader once Lewis leaves. So that's very important for a team. Fourth, Carlos Sainz Jr. He qualified 3rd, but started 3rd last thanks to penalty issues. He put in a tremendous performance. I was very impressed and happy. I thought he would get Driver of the Day vote, but fans went for Nyck de Vries, which is hard to disagree, as the kid was making his first start in Formula 1 and was under pressure. In the championship, Sainz Jr. has 187 points, which puts him 5th in the standings. behind George Russell, believe it or not. Did you like the performance by Carlito, sir?
I did. It was awesome. I mean, he didn't mess around. He started climbing the field much quicker than LCH. And it was good for the Tifosi. You know, the Tifosi need every little uplifting moment they could possibly muster.
Yes, sir. Totally agree. Fifth, Lewis Carl Hamilton, the Pasha of performance from days gone by not too long ago. He started 19th, sharing the final row with what I call Hamilton of Hamamatsu, the one and only Yuki Tsunoda. Lewis had no chance of winning the race, regardless of starting position, and at one time he was chasing Yuki lap after lap, which was very, very sad. As sad as a two-time world champion chasing Petrov. Lewis even joked before the race that he will be playing on his iPad during the race. Remember once he was playing on his iPhone or iPad during a press conference?
You bet I do.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Six, Sergio Perez. I think Checo is finally feeling what Gasly and Albon felt when they were teammate to Max. He is the hottest jalapeno he ever experienced. Checo had the honor of setting the fastest lap. Sir, let me ask you a question. Do you ever see Sergio Perez, as long as he's teammate to Max, where he wins more races than Max in a season, regardless of the package they have?
Never. It's just not possible.
Yes, I totally, totally agree. Okay, seven. Lando Norris, only papaya car in the points. He is seventh in the championship with 88 points. His teammate is 14th with 19 points. 3 points behind K-Mag and 1 point behind outgoing ex-teammate from Red Bull days. So these are very sad days for Daniel Ricciardo. You know, I'll tell you, last five races have been won by Max. And in all those races, when you listen or watch Charles Leclerc interviewed after the race, he looks like a broken man, somebody who's hurting and suffering. But I'll tell you, Danny Rick is looking even worse than that. And I really feel bad for him because I think there's a good racing driver in him. Things have not worked out. But unfortunately, you know what they say, you're as good as your last race. Have you noticed that about Danny Rick, sir?
Indeed. It's, let me put it this way, the thrill is gone.
Yes. Okay, sir. Now we come to eighth place man, Pierre Gasly. This is the hombre who won the race 2 years ago in a great battle with Carlito, and he was the only AlphaTauri in the points. Gasly is 11th in the championship with 22 points, exactly twice off his Portimao teammate, who was DNF. Gasly's only top five finish was in Baku. And you know, we've been calling Yuki Tsunoda a potty mouth, and I think he has pretty much cleaned his act for most of the time. But I'll tell you, man, I watch all these Formula 3 races and Formula 2. Even when he was in Formula 3, he was, I mean, you could hear him all the time saying to his team, shut up, shut up. So hopefully maybe Franz Tost has put some Austrian culture in him, or discipline, I should say. Do you think he'll be in Formula 1 next year?
I do.
Based on what?
They love him. On his funny attitude, he's really short and cute.
Yeah, and I think he will be there too, as long as Honda has some connection and engine supply with Red Bull and AlphaTauri. Okay, ninth man of the moment, Nyck de Vries. He said after the race, or I think it was on the cool-down lap, my shoulders are dead. What a great job he did. You know, Mr. Rogers, everybody likes winners, champions, and, you know, people who become rookie champions and this and that. And that's pretty much the ticket to Formula One. But his performance really goes to show, even when drivers who take 2 or 3 years to win in GP2 or Formula 2, they are still very quick. All they need is the right opportunity and a little time to get going at the top level. His case is another reason why we should have more teams in Formula 1. I have been following his career since his karting days, where he was king of the road and at one time was managed by Anthony Hamilton. But Nick really screwed his F1 aspirations by taking 3 years to win the basic Formula Renault Euro Cup Championship. It took him same effort to win the F2 Championship. But Toto gave him a helping hand and put him in Formula E, where De Vries won the championship. And it was also Toto's help that brought Bottas and Ocon into Formula One. It will be an absolute shame if Nick is on the sidelines next season and Nicholas Latifi keeps on cruising for bruising other talented drivers' careers. So it was a double Dutch treat for the Orange Army. One Dutch driver wins the race. The other is voted driver of the day by F1 fans from around the world. And you know, his father is Dutch. His mother, I believe, is from Indonesia. So good combo. Let's get the esteemed opinion of the host with the most.
An outstanding job. His only problem is he doesn't have billions and billions. So you never know. Latifi could just write another check and he'll be cruising and bruising next year. So it's a tough world. But obviously, everybody's interested in Nick, including Alpine. So he's going to get a drive somewhere, Nasser.
Yeah, I think so. And I also heard about Alpine being interested in this. His performance was not good news for Ricciardo and Mick Schumacher, but that's the way it goes sometimes. The final championship point from 10th place was taken by Guan Yu Zhu, first championship point for the Chinese driver in 7 races. He started the season on a high note by scoring a point in his debut in Bahrain. Before Monza, Canada was the only other race where he was also in the points. Before we go into Factoid, would you like to have last word on the Italian Grand Prix at Monza?
The Italian Grand Prix was awesome, 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 except for the last 5 laps. In Italy, at Monza, there should be rules where, because it's Monza, you have to end at 200 miles an hour.
That's a good idea.
Grazie.
And so let's look at some Monza Factoid. This year was 100 years of racing at Monza. Double DNF for James Bond's team, Aston Martin. And my favorite moment of the race was on lap 41 when Mr. Karma, Julian Palmer, said, "And Nicholas Latifi is now under pressure from Mick Schumacher. Two rising stars of Formula One in their own minds." At 5 each, Michael Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton has the most wins at Monza. Ferrari is the most successful teams with 19 wins. The inaugural 1950 World Championship was decided in the season finale at Monza. Nino Farina remains to this day only driver to win the World Championship in his home Grand Prix. That's pretty interesting. And sir, a little bits and bobs. You were talking about tsunami. Mr. Binotto has come under fire because he was doing an interview with Italian newspaper Gazzetto dello Sport, which is a very well-known newspaper. And now Binotto is saying, "I'm sorry, so sorry. The big Swiss cheese at Scuderia Ferrari is melting from the heat," coming from Japan over his comment about Yuki Tsunoda. In that story, he called him a tsunami. And that was for the way he was always getting involved in incidents. But his words did not go down well in Japan, with memories still fresh of the tsunami in 2011. Speaking at the Italian Grand Prix and having been informed of the upset that his remarks had caused, Binotto did not hesitate to sorry, and he said, and I quote, "Certainly I need to apologize. It was a mistake by using that word. I had no intention to do anything wrong, and I'm very close to the victims, which honestly I realize. I think that Tsunoda is a fantastic driver. He is a great man, and we've got a good relationship between the two of us. We simply called him in a way that was a simple joke, but it was a bad joke," end quote. So do you agree with Signor Binotto that he is a fantastic driver and a great man?
I'm sure that once you meet him, that he is a wonderful driver and a great man, Nasser. What's really hilarious is my neighbor, her name is Yuki.
And where is she from?
Japan.
Oh, cool. So does she invite you for miso soup?
Only in the morning.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, sir, on that happy note, shall we take a break?
That's a good idea. Speaking of miso soup, let me warm up my ramen, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with the Sultan, the machismo, himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. You are so kind. And, sir, we'll start with some amusement still on the F1 subject. And, you know, speaking of Binotto, he has been under pressure. Your man, Nando, knows a thing or two about pressure. Plus, he has driven at Ferrari, and he recently said, and I quote, "When you're in Formula One in general, you have to perform. If not, things will change. There's a huge pressure. This is not a charity event. This is professional sports." End quote. Would you have any comment on this, sir?
Very accurate. See, Fernando knows that to be machismo, you must deliver the goods or the package. And Fernando does that year after year with his machismo-ness. So yes, Binotto. And, you know, there's also a lot of talk about maybe Vettel becoming a team principal.
Well, he should be team principal in Formula E.
I agree.
But I have a suggestion for Mr. Binotto. You know, the Grand Prix Circus is going to Brazil, and most likely Max will be leading the race in the closing stages. So what he can do with 10, 12 laps to go, maybe borrow Nando's beach chair and sit by the track like he did and look like a total hipster.
That is a really, really good suggestion, because if anything, that beach chair makes you look like a hipster.
Yes. Now, a racing website on Yuki Tsunoda, this was a great quote. They described him as, "A bag of cats is easier to handle than his on-track temperament." Very nice. And sir, American fans and fans of Colton Herta trying to see him in Formula One, looks like, you said, FIA will not bend on their own rules. So there is still a hope he may get into Formula One through Toro Rosso, which frankly I don't think is a good idea. Going to Zach Brown's McLaren team is a much better idea. But according to Dr. Marco, he will release Pierre Gasly if Alpine pay a pretty penny and FIA grants Colton super license. Colton was third in 2015 Formula MSA, which is now British Formula 4. He had 4 wins and finished less than 40 points behind championship-winning driver who goes by the name of Lando Norris. And we interviewed Colton when he was racing in England. In 2016, he was again third with 4 wins in Euro Formula Open Series, basically a fancy name for Spanish F3. And he is the youngest winner in IndyCar racing and currently has 7 wins. Amazing, with all this success, he is still not eligible for super license. I say, what the UJ Ide. Now we come to Mick Schumacher. He is getting a lot of sympathy votes to stay in Formula One. No backing from Ferrari means possibly no seat at Haas. Looking more and more that Alpine wants to have an all-French lineup in 2023. So the escargot door is closed. Williams may be his last chance saloon, but De Vries may get in the way now. There may be an opportunity at Sauber Alfa Romeo. Cash is king there. My guess is the Schumacher family piggy bank has more money than Guan Yu Zhu's family Peking Duck Bank. What say you?
Well, Peking Duck Bank have big bucks too, and Schumacher family have lots of expenses in Switzerland, so I think Peking Duck might win.
Okay, we'll find out in a few weeks. Next, the curious case of Daniel Ricciardo. There is talk of him becoming a reserve driver at Mercedes. This would have been a good idea if he was in his mid-20s, but 10 years after, what will that lead to? I hate to see him at Haas. Gunther Steiner may be Steven Seagal of Motorsports on Netflix, but his team is a dicky bird on the track. I say Honey Badger deserves a sweeter deal. Apparently, Zach Brown offered him a seat in his IndyCar team, but Danny Rick said, no thanks. Perhaps he can do what Mark Webber did in life after F1, join a sports car team and win the world championship. And sports car scene is thriving both in Europe and here in the U.S. Okay, sir, now we go to support series, Formula 2. Brazilian Felipe Drugovich failed to finish the sprint race on Saturday, but thanks to his challenger crashing out or not scoring any points, Felipe is now the 2022 Formula 2 champion. And I believe he is the first Brazilian to win the Formula 2 GP2 championship in this century. So our congratulations to him. And it was just announced that he is being retained by Lawrence Stroll as a reserve driver. Okay, so this is good. The podium in the race, sprint race, was very international. Race winner was from Estonia, Yuri Vips. Second was Frederik Vesti from Denmark. And third was Jahan Daruwala from Mumbai, India. And he went on to win the feature race on Sunday. Jahan Daruwala used to race in Formula 3 as teammate to Lando Norris. And sir, good news for you, the F3 championship. I don't know if you watched the Formula 3 race. The final race, they have two races per weekend. That was going the same way as the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. After the race, they had to wait for the stewards to complete dishing out penalties to find out who the champion will be. And when all was said and done, it was Victor Martin from Viva la France. So our congratulations to him also. A young driver who is French-Algerian, Isaac Hadjar, he's in the Red Bull program. He also did a very good job and won quite a few races. Okay, sir, 23 will be 24. Like WikiLeaks, we now have F1 leaks. According to a German publication, there will be 24 races in 2023. China and South Africa are still in the air. China for COVID issues and South Africa for me no money. US will have three races. Vegas will be before season finale in Abu Dhabi. I think they should do the Vegas race as the finale, but apparently Abu Dhabi is paying like $45-50 million to be guaranteed as the final race. Okay, sir, now we come to IndyCar racing. The season finale was in Laguna Seca, and Mr. Will Power took his 68 pole position, which beat Mario Andretti's record of 67 IndyCar pole position. And then he went on to win his second championship for Team Penske. So congratulations and kudos to Will Power. Race winner was Alex Palou. He turned in an inspired drive. And, you know, he's being sued by his team, Chip Ganassi. But he won the race. It was his first win of the season, but he won by 32nd after starting 11. And looks like that Zak Brown may not win this legal battle, because there's been some little lovey-dovey between Chip and Alex Palou lately. So we'll find out in the next few weeks where he's going. You know, this lure of Formula One for Colton with AlphaTauri, Alex Palou, maybe with McLaren. I think these people, they should not be leaving race-winning seats for guaranteed back of the bus. And you know what's going to happen? They will go and become a teammate to a guy who's maybe not Max Verstappen, but it's in his second or third year of Formula One. They will struggle against that guy, most likely. And, you know, in Formula One these days, you have to get going by race number four or they lose interest. So we'll see how it works out. Now we come to the Acropolis Rally in Greece. It was a Hyundai 1-2-3 with Thierry Neuville winning the rally. Sir, over the weekend, we had the Fuji 6 Hours at Fuji, a track that is owned by Toyota, and they also won the race. No surprise there. But I don't know if you... Did you watch any of that race, sir? 6 Hours of Fuji?
No, my Fujicom was not working.
But I got good news for you. The Peugeots were there, and Jean-Éric Vannes is one of their drivers. But those Peugeot, they were not in French red, white, and blue, but they were painted gray. But they look very, very beautiful cars. So I'm very happy they are coming back. And, you know, and next year we will also have, I believe, I think it's next year, BMW, also known as BMW. So I'm looking forward to next year's Le Mans, which I believe is the 100th year of Le Mans. Amazing. OK, Okay, sir. Shall we take... We have time for a century of motorsports memories and history just north of Milan?
Why not? You know, and I'm sure Ron Dennis is really pumped up about Peugeot. So it's exciting, NASA. So yeah, keep it up, man.
Oh, man, you should read, you probably have Joe Ramirez's book about their dealing with Peugeot. You know, they almost had a deal with Lamborghini, which was owned by Chrysler in those days. And at the last minute, they went with Peugeot, and pissing off people at Chrysler so much, they, you know, decided not to do anything with Formula One. But the interesting thing in Joe Ramirez's book is that Jean-Pierre Jabouille was the head of Peugeot Formula One program. Joe said that from day one, Ron Dennis and Jabouille could not see eye to eye or agree on anything. And we all know what happened in terms of performance there. Okay, sir. We already mentioned the very first world championship was decided here at Monza. Winner was Nino Farina. In 1960, Phil Hill from Santa Monica Boulevard had some fun on the Monza banking, scoring his first and front engine car's last Grand Prix win. 1 year later, he would win again and become and remain only US-born world champion. Great last lap battles include John Surtees winning in 1967 in what a car was called Hondola. It was basically paid for, sponsored by Honda and built by Lola. Jackie Stewart holding off his friend and Geneva neighbor Jochen Rindt to capture his first world championship in 1969. And this is my all-time favorite race. In 1971, five cars went into Parabolica for the final time with chance of victory. Peter Gethin from UK beat Ronnie Peterson by a few inches. In 1977, Mario Andretti won his spiritual home Grand Prix. Earlier in the season, he had won in his adopted homeland also, the Long Beach Grand Prix. And sir, 5 years later, 1982, yours truly was among the thousands invading the track after the race. Mario was on pole and he finished third. I will never forget the deep voice of then F1 announcer, I believe the name was Anthony Marsh, saying on Saturday, on pole position, Mario Andretti of the United States in his Ferrari 126 C2, a beautiful, beautiful car. And Anthony Marsh's voice can be heard in the movie Grand Prix, very unique voice and something I miss very much. And sir, here, listen to this. Some years ago, there was talk of demolishing the Monza banking. Now some are saying history and heritage is not enough for Monza to stay on F1 calendar. What's wrong with these people? I guess they have been lapped and intoxicated by money. Signor, your 2 liras on Monza Autodromo and its place in Formula One.
It should be mandatory. It should be in the law. I mean, all you have to do is go there and you get the frisson. And it's so exciting. The banking, walk the banking, enjoy the banking. You know, I'm starting to believe that people suck.
Yeah, you know, the only bad thing about Monza is it can be very challenging to meet, to get your GPS working so you can meet and have lunch with a dedicated F1 Weekly listener.
Yes, that would be Garmin.
Yes, you're blaming Garmin for that. Very nice. Okay, sir, a famous last words, a cute comment from Toto Wolff. He was asked about the 2022 Mercedes W13, and he basically said, this car does not belong in the Mercedes Museum in Stuttgart. It belongs in a cave. Wow, pretty heavy-duty word for his own machine. Okay, sir, now we come to Musical Mondial. Here is Brian Ferry describing Ferrari's 2022 season so far, and I don't think any changes are happening in the remaining races. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Good night.